I'm Moya Andrews, and welcome to WFIU's Profiles. Profiles is a weekly program that introduces members of our community, as well as visiting scholars, artists, and entertainers to the WFIU audience. Our guest today is a very important member of our community. She is Ruth Ann Morris, Vice President for Patient Care Services at Bloomington Hospital. Welcome, Ruth Ann. We're very glad to have you here.
Thank you, Moya. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for asking.
Well, as one of the senior leadership team at Bloomington Hospital, you're a person that can tell us a lot about healthcare in this community and the delivery of service. You've got a lot of varied responsibilities. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and the scope of your responsibilities?
Well, Moya, one of the reasons I became a nurse is I can remember when I was very young saying I didn't want any 2 days to be alike. I wanted every day to be a new adventure, and I sure got my wish. As the chief nurse, which is the senior-most nurse at the hospital, I am responsible for the nursing care our patients receive. And maybe I'm biased, but I believe that patients stay in the hospital because they need nursing care. So we are a very important part of the services of the hospital. Mm. And we're also lucky that at Bloomington Hospital, we provide that service very well. So in order to do my job, then, I need to make sure that the right number of nurses are hired, that once they're hired, they have the right orientation to their position, the right continuing education so they continue to acquire new skills and new learning as medicine advances, that they have the right tools and equipment to do their jobs, mm-hmm. that we support them with computers, that we have enough infrastructure in place that allows them a voice in their working environment, because that's very important to today's nurse. So I get involved with all of those things in order to recruit and retain nurses.
And so you're an advocate in many different ways for all of the nurses that are employed at Bloomington Hospital.
Absolutely. I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm very proud of the nurses and believe that this community is very fortunate to have a gem like Bloomington Hospital and the many, many good nurses that we have.
And since it's the second largest employer in this area, Bloomington Hospital is very important in terms of this community's economy. Tell us a little bit about how many people are employed at Bloomington Hospital and the position categories that you oversee.
Okay. There are about 2,200 full-time equivalent employees, and it would probably be more people, but full-time equivalents are just equated in full-time terms. And of that number, about 750 are nurses who take care of patients. Mm. And then there are additional nurses who are in other management positions or teaching positions, and about 75 LPNs. So it's quite a large workforce. Other positions that I get intimately involved with are the patient care technicians, which are often students, either nursing students or medical students in many cases, and what we call unit coordinators, which are the clerical assistants that help the work continue.
Well, that's a lot of different people. So you're interacting with a lot of different types of people with a lot of different types of educational background. Are there a lot of part-time nurses?
Well, that's one of the beauties, I believe, of nursing, is that we offer 24/7 coverage at the hospital. Certainly our patients need that. But for nurses, it means that you can work any schedule you want. And that's not true in all fields. Mm. So nurses often maybe graduate from school and work full-time. And then as they begin to have families, they may drop to part-time. A man and a woman may work opposite schedules in order to cover the babysitting duties. We have nurses that work just on the weekend, nurses that work no weekends, nurses that work day shift, and most of our shifts are 12 hours, but we find that as the workforce is beginning to age, 12 hours can be a long shift. So we're beginning to add shorter shifts, 10 hours, 8 hours, 6 hours. We even have a few that are 4 hours. And we find that sometimes young mothers would like to put in 4 hours either in the morning while the kids are in school, or maybe when the husband comes home from work, that 5 to 9 p.m. time slot is a time the hospital's very busy, but that nurse that works that 4 hours can really help us at a time when we need them. So as your life needs change as a nurse, you can usually find hours that accommodate whatever is going on in the rest of your life. Nurses today are in short supply the world over. A nurse who finishes school, passes her licensing exam so that she is now a registered nurse, can go anywhere in the world and find work. So there's a lot of job security in that, and young people often take advantage of those travel opportunities. But what it means as an employer is we must be the employer of choice because they can go anywhere. They can choose to do anything. So we have to be competitive with our wages and our benefits. But more than that, we need to provide an environment that allows them to be a professional in the practice of nursing, that they have a voice in decisions that affect them. And because nurses are so varied, we try to offer lots of choices because one size doesn't fit all. So the more choices we offer, I think the more competitive we are as an employer.
And what kinds of incentives do you use to attract people here from other regions?
Well, as I said, I think the biggest incentive is our working environment. We listen and encourage participation in decision-making, and nurses often look for that. That's very important to them. Financial incentives are things such as those off shifts, evenings, nights, weekends, holidays. There's a financial advantage to working those shifts, and that's very attractive to people who believe that they need that those extra dollars. On the other hand, for other people, the time off is more important. So we try to, again, give choices and find that one size doesn't fit all.
Well, that flexibility, I'm sure, makes a big difference. I was wondering, too, what is the difference between an RN, you mentioned an RN, and I've seen on name tags LPN. Can you tell us the difference in those different types of qualifications?
Certainly. RN stands for registered nurse, and licensed practical nurse is what LPN stands for. They are two different educational preparations, two different licensing exams. Both are nurses. Both are licensed by the state of Indiana. A licensed practical nurse locally probably is a graduate of Ivy Tech. They have an excellent nursing program, and they can go on to become a registered nurse. Locally, both Ivy Tech and Indiana University offer registered nurse programs. Ivy Tech has an associate degree program, which takes 2 years. Indiana University has a 4-year baccalaureate degree in nursing. And because we're blessed in having both fine schools here and they have an agreement to work together, the 2-year graduate from Ivy Tech can go on and complete the 4-year bachelor's degree at Indiana University, being given full credit for the courses that they've taken at Ivy Tech.
Well, that's a wonderful agreement to have in place. And does the hospital provide any incentive for the LPN who wants to go on and study part-time and become an RN?
For anyone who wants to become a nurse at any level, entry level.
At any level.
At any, either registered nurse at a 2-year or a 4-year degree. We do pay 100% tuition reimbursement because nurses are in short supply, so we have a philosophy that we call grow your own. And we do have people in town who may become employees in one of the clerical positions or dietary department, and they want to become a nurse. If they become accepted in a school of nursing, we will pay 100% of their tuition.
Well, that's a wonderful opportunity for a young person or for an older person who wants to change careers.
It certainly is. And not only that, because probably the biggest shortage in nursing today is nursing faculty. We actually expect that the nursing shortage is going to get worse for the next 15 or 20 years. It seems in my career that there have been periodic cycles of nursing shortage when economic forces were at play. Now, because the average age of a registered nurse today is approaching 50, they're going to soon begin retiring, and we need to have enough people in the pipeline to replace them as they retire. Not only that, but as America ages, there are some who speculate that the need for nurses will grow. Mm-hmm. So with a smaller supply and a growing demand, you get into greater and greater imbalances. So we really want more nursing graduates. That's difficult because the average age of the nurse faculty is even older. It's 56 years of age in Indiana. So they're very close to retirement, and they are going to begin retiring very soon. So what we need to do is prepare more nurses to teach. And therefore, the hospital has 100% tuition reimbursement for nurses at the master's level in addition to the bachelor's level.
So your current employees can go on and earn advanced degrees and then become teaching faculty.
Absolutely. And many of the nurses who have done that remain a part-time employee of the university and a part-time employee at the hospital. So they really stay current with what's going on in their field as well as in education. I think they make better instructors, and we certainly profit by the very latest knowledge at the hospital.
That does sound like a wonderful combination to have people who are on the job and in the classroom.
Exactly.
Now tell me, there are more male nurses. There are more male nurses now than there used to be.
Yes.
Is this a trend that is growing?
Oh, I hope so. When I was a student nurse, about 2% of the nursing workforce were male. And today, that number is approaching 7%. So we have made big gains. That's certainly true at the hospital. We have more females in medicine, more males in nursing, which I think is wonderful. It's good for our patients. Certainly, we have patients who prefer a male nurse. The male nurses have many choices of things they would like to do. So we're finding not only young students who are male are picking nursing as a career, but also second career older adults who are returning to school are picking nursing. Men that are getting laid off from other jobs are finding something really attractive in the job security that nursing is going to have for them. They are good with the helping professions. They like helping people, and they're very good at nursing. So we're glad to have them.
And second career employees would bring a lot of other experiences to the job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They bring those life experiences, which really helps with the compassion that a nurse needs. Nursing certainly needs very bright people who are grounded in math and science, but they need compassion. They need a willingness to serve and help others.
And listen to others. Listen to what the patient is saying.
Exactly.
Could you tell us a general figure for what an entering new graduate would earn at your hospital?
Well, I would think that a new graduate could easily make, if she's working full-time, she or he, between $40,000 and $50,000 a year. It obviously varies, as I said, by which shift and how many weekends and how many holidays and if you do any overtime. So that can vary quite a bit. But then in a few years, you can advance that number considerably. And as you advance your education, you also have the opportunity for promotion and upward mobility so that nurses can often make in the $80,000 and $90,000 a year.
So the salaries are good, and of course the benefits are good too.
They are.
And Bloomington Hospital is a very good employer in many ways. Isn't there some kind of child care available?
We have child care on site, which we think is very important. Nurses often sign up the day they find they're pregnant, so that by the time they're finished with their maternity leave, they're ready to come back to work, they can bring their child with them, and it'll be cared for on site. You can check that child on your lunch hour. If something is necessary that you communicate with the school, you can run right over and be there in 2 minutes.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, how does the fact that this is Bloomington is a university town impact the availability of long-term employees at Bloomington Hospital?
Well, I think it does have some influence. It's rather, in my thinking, a two-sided coin. The fact that we're a college town, I think, drives up our turnover a little bit. We have nurses that are here in town only for a few years, either because they're furthering their education or they're with a spouse who's furthering their education. So they tell us when they're hired, I will only be here 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way because they are wonderful contributions to our staff. They are very often nurses with experience other parts of the world, other parts of the country, and they really bring those experiences with them here. But it means that some of those positions turn over more than they might in a non-college town. We also have many, many employees who have been with the hospital 10, 20, 30, and 40 years.
Many long-term
We have
ones.
One nurse who says that she's going to make 50 years, and she's about
My
four
goodness.
Years away. So, you know, it's
you
need both.
Yes, you do need both. You need the stability, and you also need the spice, which is added by having people who've come from different backgrounds and training programs.
Right. They often bring that best practice from another institution. And you can always look at your own practice through the eyes of the new person that says, why do you do it that way?
Yes.
And we have to evaluate that. I think that's also the value of having students in your program because they ask questions that sometimes you have to give a lot of thought to the answer, and that keeps all the rest of us sharp, too.
Yes, it keeps you on your toes. How has technology changed the way nurses and other healthcare workers do their jobs now at Bloomington Hospital?
Oh, many, many, many ways. I think probably the biggest trend over my professional career has been that technology has enabled patients to have shorter hospital stays and some procedures to be done outside the hospital. They're now outpatient procedures where years ago they might have been an inpatient procedure. The incision today for a gallbladder surgery is about 1 inch long, and those are done as an outpatient, where years ago it was a 6-inch incision and you were in the hospital up to a week.
I remember those days.
So that kind of trend has meant that patients who used to be in the hospital are not. Patients who at one time were in ICU are not. And we have a lot more data and information. When I was a student nurse, the one patient with the IV on the floor was the sick one. Now patients have 4, 5, and 6 IVs simultaneously, and it's every patient on the hallway. Mm-hmm. So it's changed a lot.
For the better.
Yes, I think so. I think so. I think patients are having shorter hospital stays, and they're going home and doing better because they do get up and move. They have the right support and assistance so that they can go home and continue to advance their recovery. Where sometimes I think in the old days, we kept patients in the hospital so long, they had to recover from being in the hospital.
Yes.
You know, regardless of their diagnosis.
Yes, and they got very weak.
Yes. I think, you know, your appetite and your stamina improves much more quickly today than it did years ago. One of the other, I think, big advances in technology has been the use of the computer. And I think we're still on the threshold, but we've already seen great things and greater things yet to come. The medical record someday is going to be without paper. We're halfway there, but not all the way yet. And I know how many patients have told me over the years, if the next person I see asks me what my allergies are, I'm going to scream, don't you people talk to each other? Well, of course we do. But now we'll have a technology assist that will put in front of you, in front of the provider, the information they need about the patient. You may need to confirm. These are your allergies or this is your current medications. But it will be very quick, and you will know that the care is coordinated because you're three different doctors in different offices, the outpatient procedure you had last week, the reason you're coming into the hospital today as an inpatient will all be connected. So I think that's going to be wonderful.
And then that record will be open to every healthcare provider that works with you as a patient.
If, as long as the patient gives permission. And it's going to be absolutely fundamental that the patient understands it's still their record, they still have control. But if they want the entire team of providers, including, for instance, the pharmacy. Remember in the old days, if you were an inpatient and you needed medications after discharge, the doctor would come and he would write prescriptions. And then you might have to look for a pharmacy that was open at whatever time of day or night you needed that medication. And you would take those prescriptions in. No longer. Now it's all electronic so that we make sure what medications you were taking before you came to the hospital, what medications you've been taking while hospitalized, and then your doctor will decide which of those is important to take after discharge. We will ask you which pharmacy you want us to notify, and it may be done actually right in the hospital before you leave, but that would be your choice. You may do mail order or have an insurance plan that prescribes you use a specific company. We can electronically let them know about those prescriptions, and so by the time you get there, they're ready. Think of the convenience and the time saving.
And the safety.
Absolutely safe.
Improved safety, because so many times when a person went home from the hospital, they had a whole bag full of things that they were taking before, and they didn't know whether they should take those as well as the new ones they got while they were in the hospital this time.
Absolutely. And we find that one of the reasons that patients are readmitted is because they didn't understand what medication to take when they went home. And it caused them, for some reason, to come back to the hospital. Either they forgot something that was important, or they were taking two different prescriptions for the same thing from two different doctors. That is much less likely as we go forward with an electronic integration.
That makes a big difference, then.
It does. It does. Another safety feature, as you ask about technology, is just this summer, what we've started to do was barcode. We barcode our medications so that when the nurse goes to the bedside to give the patient medication, we scan, just like the grocery store does on the barcode, the wristband that the patient is wearing. The nurse on her name tag has a barcode. And the medication has a barcode. So by barcoding the patient, the medication, and the nurse, and making sure all three things match, then we know that's the right medication at the right time for the right patient. If that doesn't match, the electronic feedback will tell you this is not the right patient, this is not the right time for this medication should be by mouth instead of by IV. So it will tell you what you're doing wrong. And we've prevented errors, I know, by making this safety adjustment.
Yes. And are all hospitals working towards this kind of delivery of service for medications? Or is Bloomington Hospital ahead of the pack?
I think we're definitely ahead of the pack. It's a very expensive system. And I think all hospitals are working towards that. But it's going to be a very long wave. And we're on the leading edge of this. And we're very proud of that. Well, we made the commitment 5 years ago that the electronic assist that we could afford, we would have a master plan because it would get us closer to the quality and the safety that we want, better than anything else we can do. So we work at that constantly, and every year we add new features, new programs, new abilities, new tools for our clinicians, and our patients are profiting by that.
That is wonderful to know. And also, I think we can see it as patients and as visitors because we see nurses and doctors entering the room with their laptop.
Yes. It's more and more wireless. Mm-hmm. What we had a recent meeting was the discussion that, again, in the old days, we had a hospital service that supported our telephones and one that supported our computers. And now that those devices are coming together, doctors are requesting more that they get the medical record on their portable iPod that is also their telephone. Mm. So that when you page the doctor, you no longer have beepers, but it's one device that has all of those data sources. And we're having to sort of gear up to be able to handle that.
It certainly is a new world. It's probably time for us to hear one of your music selections, Ruth Ann. Tell us your first selection and why you chose it.
Well, I picked Paul Simon as the artist that I wanted to bring today because I think I've listened to him all my life, all the way back to Simon and Garfunkel when I was quite young. I think that even as Paul Simon went on to perform alone, his music has evolved, and I've enjoyed the music, and I think I prefer his happy music. So I guess my first selection today is At the Zoo.
Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true. It's a light and tumble journey from the east side to the park. Just a fine and fancy ramble to the zoo. But you can take a crosstown bus if it's raining or it's cold. And the animals will love it if you do.
Support comes from Smithville Telephone Company, a locally owned business serving central and southern Indiana since 1922, offering bundled packages, high-speed internet, and wireless phones. Smithville Telephone, local pride, global technology. Information at smithville.net. Ruth Ann, Bloomington Hospital is a not-for-profit hospital. That's correct, isn't it?
That's correct.
Now, what does that mean in terms of its mission and how that makes it different from a for-profit hospital?
Well, I think the primary difference is a for-profit hospital has shareholders that co-own the hospital, and they take part of their profits to pay those owners. A not-for-profit hospital takes any money that there's generated and puts it back into the hospital. Our mission at Bloomington Hospital as a not-for-profit is to continue to improve our services to support the community and all of its healthcare needs. And we do many things that do not generate enough revenue to support that program. Most for-profit hospitals will not continue to do something that loses money. We knowingly do that in a variety of areas because we believe it's part of our mission to serve the citizens of Bloomington and the South Central Indiana. It's greater than just Bloomington. And we know that we can't make a profit on everything we do, but it's necessary that we meet the needs of our citizens.
So there must be a balance, I suppose. A not-for-profit hospital must generate enough income to then subsidize the
Absolutely.
Areas that have to be subsidized.
Exactly.
So it's a balancing act.
That's right. That's right.
And the latest thing that I've been reading about is the Volunteers in Medicine program, which is a very exciting, it seems to me, program that has been launched recently as a way for Bloomington Hospital to partner with others to care for those in the community who don't have access to health care. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of this program?
Certainly. Volunteers in Medicine is a national program, several years. We know that Columbus, Indiana, also has a Volunteers in Medicine, and it's primarily retired physicians who get involved with Volunteers in Medicine. One of the concerns is always the liability, and so a physician who's been in practice and now retired has not maintained his insurance. Malpractice insurance.
Oh, and malpractice insurance is the thing that is so expensive.
It's very expensive.
And that's the thing that makes it difficult for retirees
exactly.
to function in these kinds of places.
Right. So Volunteers in Medicine exempts physicians from having to do that. And that's government supported. So they have many, many volunteers. And we have many nurses on our staff. Physicians, others throughout the community, and their entire provider staff is volunteers. They have a lot of lay people in the community who volunteer to act as receptionist or clerical help.
And there are dentists, too,
dentists,
I believe.
That's
I suppose optometrists.
Yes. And psychiatrists. I mean, it runs the gamut of services that might be needed. And the agreement with the hospital is that we support them by helping their fundraising through our foundation.
Oh, yes. The hospital foundation
yes.
is your fundraising arm.
That's right. And they also provide support to Volunteers in Medicine, although it is a separate organization. It's a partner. And the patients who would go to Volunteers in Medicine to receive service are patients that may not have insurance, and they may not have the ability to pay out of pocket. So
it's a primary care provider.
Yes.
It's like you don't have a doctor, you go there instead of a primary care physician.
That's correct.
But the hospital still provides a lot of free service to people who do not have insurance. Isn't that so?
Oh, absolutely. And it's growing all the time. Unfortunately, it's a reality today that we have more and more uninsured people and more underinsured, so that it's a growing problem across the nation, and it certainly is true at the hospital. But there are patients who need ongoing primary care who cannot afford anything or a very small amount. There are eligibility requirements for Volunteers in Medicine, and they can get a very good service there. If they are a patient, Volunteers in Medicine, they may also be referred to any other of the providers at the hospital for a surgery or
another, an X-ray maybe, something
like that. An X-ray, and those services are also provided free.
Now, this community is very proud of Bloomington Hospital, and the local Council of Women was the group who made the hospital possible in the beginning. And also, it's still an important part of healthcare in this community. Can you tell me a little bit about the local council and how it's connected to Bloomington Hospital?
Sure. Back in 1905, as I understand, there was a railroad accident and a man who needed to be treated, and there was not a local hospital. So the local council of women, made up of other women's organizations, took it upon themselves to start a hospital. And in its current location on 2nd Street, it started in a house. I think in 1905, there were 8 beds. And so it actually is the founder of Bloomington Hospital. And today we're at 355 licensed beds. So we've grown a lot.
Grown a lot.
Yep.
And it's all because of a group of women.
That's right.
And many of those were faculty wives of professors at Indiana University.
And they continue to serve the hospital in a very important leadership role. They appoint some of our board members. And then the board members that come from the local council of women put in an extraordinary number of hours as volunteers, because our board members are not paid. We are a not-for-profit with volunteers as board members, actually set the direction and the strategy and the course towards the future that the hospital is going to go. So the local council of women is very important.
And the local council of women, I understand, has supported the path that the hospital is now on, which will lead it into a relationship with Clarion. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Certainly. The partnership with Clarion, we believe the time is right to do that now, because we're a very healthy hospital financially. We are leading the state in many of our quality indicators. We have a lot of strength. And so it's a good time to become a partner. But we believe that as we look to the long-distance future, the challenges grow greater and greater and greater. And what's happening nationally is that standalone hospitals are joining networks. They're joining networks to get the access to the expertise, to the specialists, to the services that you may not have in a community our size. And most of our patients that do get transferred to Indianapolis, 99 times out of 100 will be going to Clarion. When we have a child that needs a specialist care, we'll transfer that child to Riley Hospital. We have a patient that needs to be helicoptered because of a trauma. They probably go to Methodist Hospital. We're looking forward to working with the Simon Cancer Center at IU. So the Indianapolis 3 hospitals that make up Clarion are where our patients go when they leave town anyway.
Clarion then is a partnership already between Indiana University and Methodist Hospital.
And Riley Hospital for Children.
And Riley Hospital for Children.
Yes.
So it already encompasses those entities. And we would join that,
yes,
that group.
Clarion Health is a large, complex corporation, and it has grown beyond those original 3 hospitals. Those 3 hospitals, Indiana University, Riley Hospital for Children, Methodist Hospital, have each a proud history and a not-for-profit history. The local council of women have continued to support that our partnership with Clarion ensures that our not-for-profit status continue. Now, Clarion does have other for-profit corporations under that huge umbrella, but we would be continuing as a not-for-profit member of the healthcare Clarion community.
So we are embarked on this plan, and what will be the benefits as well as the access for expertise? Will that mean that the expertise will come to us from the medical school, and that those of us in Bloomington that need additional specialists, et cetera, won't have to go to Indianapolis?
Hopefully some of both. One of the things I look forward to is working more closely with IU School of Nursing, IU School of Medicine. Those are important providers across the state, and having that relationship right here in Bloomington, because we're in the shadow of IU after all, means that maybe some of the nurses at Bloomington Hospital could continue their education. We can become an important clinical site for students in the future. Right now,
would we get residents from Indianapolis?
Right now we have first and second year medical students, but they're talking about needing more doctors in the future and adding a third and fourth year, possibly here in Bloomington. Following that, it would be wonderful to have medical residents here that could be on duty and serving our patients 24/7. So that really makes a richer environment of specialists and really cutting-edge practice that I think will be more easily achieved becoming part of Clarion. As you know, probably, we're looking at long-term what we do with the campus that is land purchased on the bypass in Curry Pike. It's on the northwest side of town.
Right near the highway.
Right near the highway.
Yes. I guess that campus would provide services for people in the region.
Yes. When what we're looking at is taking the next year with a task force that would be have members of certainly the hospital, the medical staff, large employers, the city county council.
Community stakeholders, in other
community
words.
Stakeholders, but not just Bloomington, but looking beyond Bloomington.
How many counties are involved here?
We like to look at 10 counties, which is Morgan County, south all the way to Orange County. So there's 10 counties in all, believing that really between the Ohio River and Indianapolis, we are the largest hospital. We offer already the biggest scope and depth of service, and we want to enrich that by becoming part of Clarion. Clarion has a hospital in Bedford. We have a hospital, Bloomington Hospital of Orange County, in Paoli. So we think that by coordinating health care, we can provide better service by coordinating instead of competing.
Well, so it's all about access and availability.
It is.
And strengthening what is available here so that we have better services for this community. But we will be drawing patients from the whole region, which will increase income.
We already do. On any given day, about half the patients in the hospital come from outside of Bloomington. They are already driving past perhaps a smaller hospital because the service that they require is offered here in Bloomington.
Mm.
And we see that happening more and more. You may know that we added a heliport last year, and that helicopter's bringing far more patients than it takes away. We occasionally do send someone to Indianapolis for something that we don't provide.
Oh, you
for
don't
example,
have a level one trauma unit here, isn't that?
That's correct.
Correct.
That's
mm-hmm.
correct. We would be probably the equivalent of a level two trauma. We send children occasionally up to Riley. We don't have a burn unit. So if we get a patient with bad burns, we may send them to an Indianapolis hospital. They may go by helicopter. But we have the helicopter landing, bringing us patients to our cath lab, to our open heart surgeon, where time is very critical to those patients. They need to get to surgery quickly. The neuro patient for neurosurgery, they require very quick service. They're brought by helicopter rather than by ambulance. So we see that more in the future. We believe that, as I said, now is the time to start this. We have been in discussions with Clarion for about 2 years, year and a half maybe, and many of those discussions have been public. We have had the local council of women vote to move forward. And in the coming year, what we will be doing is working on a strategic plan for the region with Clarion, and also looking at what facilities will be needed to support that strategic plan. Both of those plans would have to be approved before any partnership would be completed. We're trying to keep the dialogue open, to answer questions, to be as transparent as we possibly can, and to make sure that people have time to think about it and a chance in a public way to ask their questions and have them answered. So that process, as I said, has been going on for well over a year, and I think will continue for the next year before any final steps are taken.
And I suppose if this hub idea, that Bloomington Hospital is a southern hub for Clarion and part of the delivery of care for from here to the Ohio, that there will be more patients, there will be more services, and that it's possible that there will be more than one campus, not only the downtown campus, but also buildings on the new land out near the highway, so that people who are driving long distances, for example, for cancer treatments, would be able to be taken care of in outpatient facilities nearer to the highway.
Right. When we purchased the land, what we believed was that our current site had served us for 100 years, and we needed to think what we're going to possibly need for the next 100 years. And for that reason, we purchased the property, but we don't have a facility plan, and it's finishing that strategic plan about how you service all the healthcare needs throughout the region that will drive what facilities are needed. There's many possibilities.
Yes, and a lot of work needs to be done. I would imagine that programs such as Volunteers in Medicine would be programs that would always need to be downtown, since most people live downtown, and that some of these things will evolve in terms of the task force deliberations.
Absolutely.
Well, we have enjoyed talking about all these things that are going on, but tell me a little bit about you. Why did you become a nurse? Did you always want to be a nurse? Where did you train? Are you glad you did it?
I'm absolutely glad I did it. I grew up in northern Indiana, just outside of Chicago, and my mother's a nurse. So with her assistance, I found a job in high school working at the hospital and made friends with nurses who took me under their wing. And that's when I decided I wanted to become a nurse. So I went to IU. I actually didn't start as a nursing major. I started as a journalism major.
Well, that's why you're a good communicator. You had that journalism training.
Well, I was editor of my high school's yearbook. And I thought that's what journalism was, and I found out it's so much more than that. So switched my major to nursing, came to school here in Bloomington briefly, finished at the Med Center in Indianapolis, and then I worked a long time at Community Hospital in Indianapolis, and I actually worked with Mark Moore while he and I were both there at the same time.
CEO in
that's
Bloomington.
Right. He was the chief operating officer of the entire community network, all five hospitals, and I worked with him there. And then finished my master's in nursing, finished my master's in business administration, so I have a number of IU degrees, and wanted to go out and see the world, so I had an adventure, and my husband and I moved to Connecticut. And I lived in Hartford for 10 years, and I worked at St. Francis Hospital and Medical Center, which is very much like Clarion. It's an academic medical center located in downtown Hartford, and it has 660 beds on the main campus, but it has multiple hospitals. One of the things I did while I was there is I merged Mount Sinai and St. Francis Hospitals, which were located on campuses about 2 miles apart.
That was an interesting experience, I'm sure.
It was very interesting, and what we believed is that out of the coming together of two great hospitals, we came up with a new, improved service. And so it was challenging work, but very rewarding, and I really liked New England. But after 10 years, we were making more and more trips home. We have parents who are aging and need us to be close by. And so when I heard that Bloomington had an opening and that Mark Moore, who I had worked with so successfully in the past, was the new CEO. I seized the opportunity to apply and was lucky to get the job. So
you came back home to Indiana.
I came back home to Indiana, in the best place in all of Indiana to live, which is Bloomington, at just a terrific hospital, which, you know, I love the great people and the great things we're doing. I have a great boss, so I'm very happy, and I plan to be here through retirement and beyond, maybe.
Well, we hope you will, because you're a great asset to our community and to our hospital, and that quality of life for nurses and for all healthcare workers that you mentioned earlier is a great incentive for us to hire and retain the very best workers for Bloomington Hospital.
Absolutely. When someone asked me, would I do it again? In a heartbeat. I think nursing is an exciting, dynamic, fulfilling career. I'm not sure you can work on Wall Street today and go home and tell your family how many people you helped. And yet we have rewarding stories of the experiences our nurses give our patients every single day, that they go home feeling good.
And that is a very important aspect in terms of quality of life. We've been speaking with Ruth Ann Morris, who is the Vice President for Patient Care Services at Bloomington Hospital. Ruth Ann, thank you for being with us. And we're going to have one more piece of music that you brought. Will you tell us what our final selection is?
It's my favorite Paul Simon because I like to walk to it. It's music that I can't sit still when I listen, and it's called You Can Call Me Al.
It sounds wonderful, and it's a wonderful way to end. I'm Moya Andrews for Profiles. Today, we have enjoyed our discussion with Ruth Ann Morris, Vice President for Patient Care Services at Bloomington Hospital. Thank you, Ruth Ann, and thank you for listening.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife?
The program you have just heard was recorded in December of 2008. The studio engineer and technical producer was Michael Paskash. Support comes from Smithville Telephone Company, a locally owned business serving central and southern Indiana since 1922, offering bundled packages, high-speed internet, and wireless phones. Smithville Telephone, local pride, global technology. Information at smithville.net. Copies of this or other programs can be obtained by calling 812-855-1357. Information about Profiles, including archives of past shows, can be found on our website, wfiu.org. Profiles is a production of WFIU and comes from the studios at Indiana University. Christina Kuzmich, executive producer. Please join us again for the next edition of Profiles. For WFIU, thanks for listening.